broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. Just before we get started with this episode, with a quick update on Ride with Dan USA, I'm so thankful for all of you that have been pouring into him with your prayers. The GoFundMe account continues to grow. If you want to give to donate at ridewithdanusa.com, all the links will be up today at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. You can follow his story as he continues to recoup and as he continues to get better and heal every single day. He was up walking around the hotel, handing out candy to the staff. So he wants to be active. He wants to get back out on the road. But first, we have to get him recuperated. So thank you so much, all of you Blockhead Nation, for the love and support you've shown to Ride with Dan USA. Also, if this video goes out on YouTube, which I think it might, I'm wearing my official attire for the newest member of the YFB Network, the Grindhouse Radio. Guys, this is a huge deal to have these awesome group of guys and gals on my podcasting network. What the YFB Network welcomes anybody, but man, to have the best show in Long Island, New York for 4 years in a row is a big step up in the podcasting world. So thank you, Grindhouse Radio, for the wonderful merchandise, and thank you for being part of the YFB Network. That being said, those of you that have read the title already, you know that this man has been on my show before, and he is returning to give us an update. Without any further ado, I give you the one and only UFC light heavyweight fighter, Mr. Sam Alvey. Smiling Sam, welcome back to the Blockhead Hour.
Hello, my friend. Thank you for having me back.
I am super thrilled to have you on, buddy. I selfishly have a few questions I want to ask you, starting simply with, you have now come home and you're with the family and you're healing up really nicely, but can you give us a little bit, since the last time we talked, you've had a couple of fights in between there, but you've just been to Fight Island. Can you give us an update on what it was like in Fight Island? Were there some advantages and disadvantages for you while you were there training? What can you give us a rundown on just Fight Island in Abu Dhabi?
You know, it was different than I thought. When I first heard Fight Island, I figured it was going to be a lot more like the Kumite, where it's just kind of a shack and you'll have some bedding maybe and you go in there and you fight to the death. But it was a really nice island in Abu Dhabi. There's an infrastructure there. There was buildings. There was a racetrack that went through the hotel and the open wheel one. It was that F1. Yeah, the F1 series racetrack going through there. So it was just a beautiful island. It was very, very upbeat, upscale. There are beaches and the cages on the beach. It was just wonderful in that regard. As far as the experience, it was a long trip. It was, I think, 13 days I was gone because I was quarantined 2 days in Vegas, tested both days, COVID tested. Then we flew over there, which is like 16-hour flight. Then we get quarantined over there for 2 days, and then we get tested the whole time we're over there. And then we get to fight, and we fight in front of almost no one. The sheiks of the area were in house. I didn't get to meet any of them, but I got to see they were there, so I got to wave to them a little bit. And it was a lot of fun. It was very well put together. The UFC spared no expense, and they made it just as nice for everyone as they can make it. And it was a real pleasure to get to be part of it.
That's awesome, man. Again, I know it's a little bit different when you have the less fan interaction than you had, but again, your performance, man, for this fight was just incredible. But before I get into anything about the fight, I got to ask you, I watched you as you started, and I was really hyping you up on Facebook and Instagram, like, let's go, Sam. As we get you guys to the middle of the cage, I noticed that you didn't touch gloves with Young at all. But I'm wondering, was that part of the gimmick of being Smiling Sam Alvey? Because they were really talking you up with that gimmick. Or was this something you did on the fly? Did you do it to kind of give a psychological edge? What was the reason why you just didn't touch gloves with him?
Well, there were two reasons. One, I didn't realize he was offering to touch gloves until it was a second too late, at which point it would have been weird for me to touch gloves. I didn't realize he was going out for it.
Okay, right.
But two, I probably wouldn't take it either. My second professional fight, which would have been like 13 or 14 years ago, I got sucker punched off a glove tap. And I ended up knocking the gap later, but it was one punch. You know, we touched gloves, he came over the top, hit me, and then clinched. And actually, in the clinch of that fight, he apologized. I'm so sorry, bro. I didn't mean to do that. It's okay. Then we fought, and I knocked him out a second later. But it was – I never touch gloves. I never want to because I got – you know, a wise man learns from his mistakes. How's it go? A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from someone else. I'm not a wise man, but I am a smart man. So I will learn from my own mistakes. And I got sucker punched once 14 years ago, and I don't think I've touched gloves since.
You know what? That does make a lot of sense, Sam, because, again, this is only a fan's perspective on that one. Because, you know, you watch from afar, you sit at your couch in your comfort of your AC and watch these guys who touch gloves and go, oh, that's nice. And, oh, there's respect there, or there's pure hatred sometimes when they don't do it. I guess in the case with Connor versus Nate Diaz, they're just there to get down to business and things like that. So I wasn't totally sure with that. But as anybody who watched the prelims for this fight, you again showed once again how tough you truly are. In the first two rounds, they were looking great to your advantage. Of course, come third round, it's almost like there was – I don't want to call this an Achilles heel because I'm not sure how this will rub you, Sam. But there was something about Young's elbow that was just really catching you off your game. But when we get to the scores, I'm going, okay, split decision. He'll take that loss of the third round. But all of a sudden, I hear this split draw happen. I'm going, what just happened? I know that Jason Hendricks from Those Leprechauns was just as confused as I am, probably more livid about it. But as I understand, going back now that you've had time to look back at this, you're not too crazy about the results, but this is your chance just to share with the Blockhead Nation your opinion on the outcome of this fight.
Yeah, I was upset at the time, and I've watched it four or five times since then, and I'm still upset. So I would disagree with you. I don't think it was a split decision even. I think I dominantly won most of the fight. The first two rounds, I didn't think there was any question. I outstruck him. No. I landed everything I wanted. He landed very little. I kept my back foot to the cage, but I don't know where it says that's wrong to do. I was landing everything.
No, of course.
Round three, I definitely lost round three. But one of the judges scored round three a 10-8. And if you watch that round, it was a close fight or a close round that I outstruck
very
him
true.
In. But he had the bigger shots. He landed three clean elbows, one real clean elbow that put me on my butt for a second, which right. Then I got up immediately. Then I took over. I was landing, I think it was like four uppercuts and a hook in a row. It was the coolest thing I've ever done in all my fights. It was like as it was happening, I was in, I could do this again. Oh my goodness. I was so pleased with myself during that moment. It was awesome. Yeah. He caught me with another elbow. I remember all of them. It didn't really hurt, but it stumbled me back a little bit. We clinched. I fought a little more. It was a close round that I lost.
Sure.
Round three was. So when I heard, you know, 10-8 round or split, I was just beside myself. I put in so much work. I flew across the world. I put my life on hold just to have a terrible judge who should not be allowed to judge ever again. Based on that one round of a fight that he got wrong, he should be banned from judging everywhere. It was just, if I knew who it was, I'd be embarrassed for him. But you never know who the judges are because they do a real good job at hiding them. It was a good fight all the same. So I drew where I should have won. I got half my paycheck, but at least it was a good fight. At least it was very entertaining. Like I said, I watched it four or five times and I'm usually a really hard critic on myself, but it was a good fight. It was the best fight I've had in a while. I thought Ryan Spann was good. I thought the guy before that was a good fight. This was a really good fight.
Yeah, agreed. And again, my opinion gets trumped by the guy who actually is in the arena here. It's kind of one of those, from a fan's perspective, I see the power hits and I just go, well, I keep my expectations low when it comes to going to the scorecards. I just have to. Otherwise, I'm just going, well, maybe I'll be more beside myself if that's the case. But you brought up something about the judging that I'm seeing just as a fan. I'm seeing this trend of weird calls that are happening, not just with yours, but even one of your own guys from Team Quest, Ed Herman, Short Fuse, those who don't know his other story, you should go look him up.
He's not my gym. Yeah, he's not my gym. He might have been at a different Team Quest years ago, but right now, and for the last, since I've been in the UFC, he's been in Colorado.
That's right.
Yes. I've met him once or twice. Yeah, I've met him once or twice, but he's a good dude. He's just not part of my team.
Right. That fair enough. I mean, that shows how much homework I've done how Team Quest has been divided, or where they would have different spots. It's just when you hear Team Quest, it's just like, well, okay. And then, but in Hit Herman's case, he had something strange happen in his fight with Mike Rodriguez. Where and that didn't seem like that was something that he would pull, because there was controversy about it, that did he really take a crotch shot or did he take one to the ribs? It sure looked like a low blow to me. But then there was like this timeout called, or there was like the rib shot. But I don't know, are you seeing, not just in your case, but these poor judge calls that are happening where the NSAC need to go back and see who are you hiring at this point? It's starting to look almost like the controversy is relaxing.
I would love to see referees and judges be able to be fired more often. It doesn't happen often. And when it does happen, it's kind of under – I would like the fear of firing to be in most judges. That particular fight, it wasn't the judge. It was the referee that screwed it up.
Okay.
Ed Herman did nothing wrong. Herman got kicked in the liver and he collapsed, which is what's going to happen. You get kicked in the liver. Referee thought it was a nut shot. And so the referee, you get 5 minutes on a nut shot.
Okay.
Ed Herman did the smartest thing ever. He didn't say anything. He didn't correct the judge. He said, he went, you kind of see, he went from grabbing his liver to,
that's what I'm getting at.
This hurts. And it was the judge's fault. Ed Herman did everything perfect. It was nothing wrong with him. It's unfortunate that it happened that way, because I do think that ref has been fired or not used ever again.
Okay.
Because that was a bad one. But Ed Herman did nothing wrong. He was a veteran of the sport. It's kind of like when Diego Sanchez, he took that knee, two fights ago. He got kneed on the ground. He was a downed opponent, got kneed. And he stood up, and it hurts. And then the ref said, can you continue? And he asked, if I say no, is the fight over? He said, yeah, if you say no, it's an illegal strike. So, I can't compete. It hurts too much. Brilliant move. You get an illegal shot, you stay down. It's my biggest complaint with Anthony Lionheart Smith. Why he would it's his coach's fault more than his. The coaches should have been yelling at him to stay down against the John Jones. Sorry, I'm jumping fights a lot. But Anthony, when he got kneed, I think it was round four, downed opponent, and he said, no, I can keep going. Ridiculous. He should have said, no, I'm done. That was – my head hurts. I'll rematch him, but I'm the champion now. He should have done that. And I'll bet you he kicks himself every day for not doing that.
Sure. And, I love these examples you're giving, because the truth is, Sam, you're educating a casual fan here at this point. I do appreciate all the loose ends that I've got. You can tie them up nicely. That's actually very helpful on my end, and also the listeners. They're going, okay, this is what he's talking about. Because I've just been seeing a trend of poor calls that are happening with the refs. And I'm going, this is just a fan's perspective. Now we got the fighters who are obviously fired up on it. Well put on your end. But if I can,
I've got a conspiracy theory about it. And so it's not based on anything. I don't know anything.
But you have my attention.
Is that there is something being told to the judges, to the referees, to the whoever's judging it, by the commission, saying, hey, you've got to put the fighters, and it sounds like it should be said, but it shouldn't be. You need to, above all else, you need to put the fighter safety above everything. And I argue with that, because if I wanted to be safe, I would not be in a cage with somebody trying to punch me in the face.
Right.
I am completely aware of the risks. I understand. But now you see stuff that gets ended so early. Dan Henderson versus Shogun would never happen with the judges nowadays.
Fair enough.
Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard, 1 and 2, would not happen with the judges.
That's true. Any MMA fan should go back and watch that rivalry for sure.
They're incredible fights, incredible comebacks. A guy getting just laid out, flattened, and then fighting his way back into it. They're some of the most incredible fights that could not happen with the judging going on today. The 10-8 rounds, I think, it is the biggest travesty MMA has ever started putting up with. It is a 10-point must system, 10-9, and now they're trying to introduce a 10-8 system where if you lose a round by more dominance than you won the first round, then it's a tag, which is absolutely ridiculous. In the sport of MMA, you have 3 rounds, maybe 5 rounds, one round that gets a 10-8 round like that is it ruins the fight. My fight's an example of it. It's the first time I've ever had a 10-8 against me, and it ruined the fight. It completely swayed that fight. But in boxing, where the 10-8, you can get a 10-8 every time you get a knockdown, or 10-7 if you get knocked down twice, there are 12 to 15 rounds that you have to make up. So if you get one 10-8 round, you still have another 11 or 14 rounds to make up that point. MMA and boxing are not the same sport, and it upsets me so much that they are trying to justify a 10-8 scoring system now.
This public service announcement is brought to you by your favorite blockhead. Go check out all the independent podcasters on the YFB network. This network was started to collaborate and to grow every single one of these podcasters and many more to come. Check out who we currently have: the Rated JG Podcast, the Paddler's Playbook, Loud and Opinionated with Russ, Casually Kicking It, the Burnout with Chris Barnett, the Sharpen Your Sword with Brock Richard Podcast, and Talking Creative with Don and Ozeal. There are many more to come. There are some that are sitting in the lobby right now, ready to sit in the hot seat with your favorite blockhead. So the network is going to continue to grow. What we need from you, Blockhead Nation, is to go check out these other podcasts. Give them a 5-star review. Give them a rating. Subscribe to their shows. And let the world know that this is a group of podcasters who will get you through your week. We'll also live by the 3 E's: to educate, to entertain, and to edify. Go check out the YFB Network today. I did not know that I would get a smiling Sam Alvey so fired up on this, but I wondered the same thing. And it's what a lot of us fans have been saying: is boxing and MMA are not the same sport, and you just solidified it right here. And that I'm sorry that you've had to go through that, Sam. I really am, because you're a very positive guy and very likable. But you see controversy when you see it, and you're calling it out here, Blockhead Nation. I hope you're listening as we continue to support this man in his future endeavors. That also, on a positive note, you have a fun activity you put out recently called the Make Me Smile Challenge. Is there any way, since this challenge is still open, in case other listeners come on and want to be a part of that, Sam, how did this get started, and what is the Make Me Smile Challenge going to be contributed to once you have a winner?
So I am a foster daddy. I'm part of the foster system. I've been doing it for about 2 years now. And it is a process and a half to become a foster father. And then there's a lot of heartache and heart reward. Right now I'm on the reward side of everything, as I'm about to adopt my first foster child, which is just wonderful. But when COVID hit, as bad as it is for every, adult, and we're all, it's terrible. We have to stay inside and watch TV instead of going to work or whatever.
Sure.
These kids that should have advantage of, I believe the number one thing that determines it, or that finds out if a kid is being abused, are teachers. Because the kid is that gets hit at home, gets hurt, or gets harmed at home, they go to school with a black eye, a bruise, shin, or whatever. And the teacher starts noticing a habit of this. The teacher, they can then get CPS involved or talk to the parents themselves. COVID came in, and somebody decided that all children, fathers or mothers or family members, are around to see them being abused. I think the stat right now is it is down close to 60 or 70% less kids being put into the foster system than any year prior to now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a travesty. There are kids that are just going, abused children that are going unnoticed around the world, but particularly around the United States. And so what I am doing is I am starting it's not a charity, but it is a fundraiser, which I will be donating to all the proceeds to a charity, right, to foster children, foster families, to try and raise awareness for them. It's called the Make Me Smile Challenge. And what we're doing, and we were hoping to have it up and 100% running by now, but there's a lot more technical stuff that I have no idea about. The partners I'm working with are trying to get everything up and running. And it's on social media. You just put on hashtag Make Me Smile Challenge, and then you do anything you want. And at the end of it, whoever makes me smile the most is going to be the winner. We have over $2,000 of prizes for the first, second, third place guy. First place is going to get a $1,000 gift card to Amazon. Second and third place, I believe it's $2,500 gift cards to Amazon. Ripper Nutrition right now, they are donating everything on their site is 50% off, but then every dollar they get is being donated to the challenge. So that's Ripper Nutrition. So we're doing everything we can to raise as much money and primarily awareness of this problem with the foster system right now, particularly right now, but always in general.
Of course, that's even a wake-up call for me as a social studies teacher is that, you know, I'm meeting these kids, they come back from doing online learning, they're back in my classroom, and it's another thing I need to be on the lookout for because I've made those heartbreaking calls before myself, Sam. So I just love what you are doing, and it's great that that's still open. If this really stirs the hearts of others that are either just the Blockhead Nation listeners or the podcasters in the YFB network, maybe they might want to jump on and be a part of that. So we'll make sure those links are available in the blog that we do today. Also, and you also put some lighthearted stuff up too, not just great causes like this, but you've even done, or at least have talked about doing some type of a quarantine concert. Is that still among other projects you're anticipating in the future and not your home and resting?
Yeah, I played trumpet for 20 years, close to 20 years. I'm not nearly as good as I used to be. It's been about 15 years. It's been about 11 or 12 years since I played, but I've still got it hanging on my wall over there. But I picked up the ukulele recently, the piano. I'm just learning as many instruments as I can with my kids. And so what I'm trying to do is just get on Instagram Live, or I think you can go Twitter Live, just get on some live platforms and just groove with some guys. Sure. The problem is I'm not as good as most of the people that want to play with me. I can strum along with them, and a karaoke bar, you're not going to find anyone better than this guy. But it's really, I got to man up and do it. Just get online and start accepting people in to come play with me, and we'll have a good time.
Very cool. I mean, either way, I've been putting that bug in your ear that if you need a jazz saxophonist, that Zach Sanders of Zach Sanders Music is your guy from South Carolina. He'll appreciate that. I did that shameless plug. But no telling who else you'll have amongst it. If you have the quarantine concert, I'll be tuning in to listen to this. But if you need a good jazz saxophonist, Zach's your guy for sure. Are you going to be – I know you're resting. I know that you're spending time with the kids. You got the holidays coming up. I hope that you enjoy your holidays and your break here. But will we be expecting to see Smiling Sam possibly back in the cage around 2021 at some point?
Shoot, if I could get back, I'm ready to fight right now. I take the stitches out.
Fair enough.
The stitches out yesterday. You put me back in the cage next week. I took a shot or two in my last fight, but I'll try real hard not to let that happen in my next one. I love fighting. I like being in that octagon. I want to do everything I can to fight every second I can. And the UFC has blessed me with the opportunities to do it. So sure. That's what I am trying to do is just get back in the cage as fast as they'll let me.
Fair enough. I mean, either way, light heavyweight division needs to be watching out for Sam. But also, according to this, I just want to know.
Hey, I'm going to drop back down to middleweight. These two fighters are too damn big.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
The only way to stay at light heavyweight is if I were to get a match against Dotlin Young, who's a super nice guy, which is the guy I just fought. Super nice guy. But I this draw is sitting on me rough. So I would stay at 205 to rematch him. Otherwise, I'm going back down to 85.
Which does mean that you would be in the same realm of people like possibly Robert Whittaker or Jared Cannonier or people in that realm. Is that
Yeah. Yeah, I go back down and they're all just as big, just not as slow. Yeah, I look forward to it. I was always a big middleweight. I'll go be a big middleweight again. I'll go in there and make Paul Acosta look small.
There you go. I like it. I love the idea of Usman Ali versus Paul Acosta, but that was why – while you were listed as a light heavyweight, I just had to know that this is apparently breaking news as of possibly Izzy – was wanting to move to light heavyweight. I don't know if that means he vacates the title, if he wants to build up to what everyone's talking about is Izzy versus John Jones. Do you have any just any thoughts on that? You think, you know, since you're an insider and see all the moving parts of UFC, what do you think about Izzy possibly making that move?
Yeah, I would love to see him do it. He's not a particularly big guy, and Jan is, sure. But Jan's kind of slow, a big and powerful, but kind of slow. I kind of think Izzy wins that one. That being said, I am always wrong with my main event picks. So if that's main event, I'm picking Izzy. It'll probably be on. But I like the idea. I like that John Jones is no longer the champion. He can go up a weight class and cheat there. And how easy he gets to go up. And
you heard it here, Buck Nation.
Yeah, and honestly, who's Izzy going to beat in the middleweights? He's kind of cleared the top five out. He Whitaker, right. I think, has earned another shot, but he's right. already beaten Whitaker. The Cannoneer right. was going to be the next one, but he kind of got beat up by Whitaker. Right. Paul Acosta, Romero, right. they got beat up. Romero didn't get beat up, but Romero fought terribly. Sure. And they're not going to just keep giving Romero title fights. They can't pick three in a row and lost them all. So you have Darren Till, maybe. You might be able to get
maybe Jack Hermanson,
ever wins a fight against Jack, I suppose he is. Forgot about him. He's just – who did he just beat? He just beat someone.
Yeah.
Pretty dominant. Yeah, but even I think Jack, he's got to be ranked number 5 or 6.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Izzy's beaten Brunson pretty easily already. Izzy's kind of cleared out the division. And right. the ones he hasn't cleared out kind of cleared themselves out. So I would love to give the middleweights, you know, 6 month break and try and figure out who's the real next in line and give Izzy a real shot, a title shot up at a light heavyweight.
There you go. There's your wake up call. But either way, at this point, we'll be Blockhead Nation will be watching for you to eventually be possibly fighting for the open title. Maybe that'll be Robert Whittaker. We don't know. But at some point, that's down the line. I love the breaking news here that you're going to middleweight. With that being said, Sam, do you have just any closing thoughts on just anything that you want us to know over on our end? Maybe some other projects that are coming up soon that we should be anticipating, or this is your time to let it
rip. This is super important. I'm on TikTok, and I absolutely love TikTok. So if anyone wants to follow me on TikTok, y'all should get on TikTok and follow me there because I'm having a blast. And I'm doing a lot more one-on-one conversations with people, but I'm putting little – if you know TikTok, it's wonderful. So get on TikTok, follow me. I'm at Smiling Sam, and I'm having a blast over there.
I'm loving that. And if the time ever comes, buddy, if you need any extra help restarting up, you know, doing more episodes of your podcast, or if you just want any ideas, you know, you're welcome to join on the YFB network anytime. We'll get you a little bit more air and exposure if you decide to go into that route for podcasting. But now that you're preoccupied with TikTok, you know, you do what works for you. But if you need help on podcasting, you let me know.
Oh, I should do that. I love hearing myself talk. Podcast would be a great idea.
See, there you have it. And as of this point, guys, you know that we're going to have all links to Smiling Sam Alvey for his Instagram, for his TikTok. We're going to make sure all that's available today in the blog. So once again, yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, and all the links will be available for Smiling Sam Alvey to follow the Make Me Smile Challenge, and we'll keep you up to date as best as we can. Other than that, do you have any other closing remarks before I let you enjoy the rest of your day, Sam?
No, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. So thank you for having me on, and we'll have to do this again.
It is always a pleasure to talk to you, Sam. And in the meantime, we'll see what comes up in the future. As far as I know, I don't want to give away too much, but this guy right here on the Groundless Radio, Zambo, has agreed to come on next week. So let's hope that the stars align and I get a chance to talk to him. But until that time, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know where to go for your favorite blockhead. You have the blog, you have the podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else your platforms are. If this video is worthy of what happens with Zoom, then we'll put it up on YouTube. But until next week, stay tuned in and watch the YFB Network for all the great podcasters that are out there. And just know that we'll be back next Saturday, same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.